ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Now I intend to comment on a verse which you all know. At least I hope you all know it. Just a second. There are two verses which we generally recite in Kirtan. We first chant the Pranam mantras to Srila Prabhupada, then Panchatattva mantra, then the Hare Krishna mantra. So this mantra we should all know very well. Yeah, two shlokas together. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Desha Tarni. So, as with every other shloka in the Vaishnava tradition, these verses can be unpacked and much can be said about them. The first verse has, in this double-barreled pranam to Srila Prabhupada, has been it's become a generic verse of obeisance to gurus in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to whom this, in regard to whom this was first composed. So it's a generic verse, but just the name is changed. The second verse is composed by Srila Prabhupada himself. It's unusual that a guru or anyone will compose prayers in glorification of themselves. But Srila Prabhupada's early disciples were quite incompetent to do so. So Srila Prabhupada did. And it goes, as you know, Namaste, offering obeisance to, this means offering obeisance. Naman, putting one's head down. Namaste, Sarasvate Devi, this understood to mean the servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Gauravani Pracharane, who is preaching Gauravani, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. And delivering the Western countries from the impersonalists and voidists. So, preaching the message, Gauravani. What is Gauravani? That is summarized in a well-known verse, well-known among Gauriya Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are summarized. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Taniyastad Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kachid Rajavadhu Vargena Rajavadhu Upasana. What is it? Ramya Kachet Upasana. Upasana. Rajavadhu Vargena Yaka Upita. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramaram Amalam. Premo Pomarta Maham. Sri Chaitanya Matoridam. Excuse me, I'm tired. Tatradaro Naparaha. So this is the summary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be worshipped. He, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has appeared as the son of the king of Vrindavan. His place is Vrindavan, is as worshipable as he. The best mode of worship of he is that which is seen, that which is demonstrated, or that which is conceived of by the wives of the gopas, the cowherd men, in other words, the gopis of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost evidence. And the topmost attainment for human beings is to attain pure love of Krishna, prema. So these are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we as Gaurīya Vaiṣṇavas, we respect them as being supreme. So this is the Gauravani which Śrīla Prabhupāda is teaching. Now also it's given Nirviśeṣa Śunyavādi Paschatya Desha Tarane, which means delivering the Western world from impersonalists and voidists. Now, that's not included in this verse of Gauravani. But that doesn't mean it's not part of Gauravani, because in this verse it's also not stated about chanting the holy names of Krishna. So some major points are given in that verse. But there are others also, as we find in the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is first of all established who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Nityananda, who is Advaita Acharya, and who are their devotees. And then in one chapter, first of all, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the seventh chapter establishes the principle of the Panchatattva. Then he describes the glories of the Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names. And then, in some detail, he describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated the Mayavadis of Varanasi. So, this has become a very important part of the Gaurīya Sampradaya. Actually, you'll find all the Vaishnava Sampradayas. They all take us there as a major platform of their teachings, the defeat of the Advaitavad of Shankaracharya, especially. Well, Ramanuja took this, historically Ramanuja took this up first. Then Madhva and his followers took this up with even more vigor. And we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did this. Srila Prabhupada composed a poem in English in honor of his Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In there was one stanza, that absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast removed, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appreciated very much. And devotees, the godbrothers of Srila Prabhupada, who at that time he was known among the, in the Gauriya Matas, Abhay Charanaravinda Das in long form. So they commented that just as Rupa Goswami knew the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was able to express that in poetry, the inner feelings, so this Abhay has understood the inner heart of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and has expressed that in poetry. So Srila Prabhupada gave this pranam mantra, and he defines his mission in this way. He writes in one purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, commenting on this pranam mantra, obeisances are therefore offered to the spiritual master as Sarasvata Deva, or a member of the Sarasvata family, Namaste Sarasvate Devi, whose mission is to broadcast the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauravani Pracharane, and to fight with impersonalists and voidists, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarane, often mispronounced as Paschatya, but it's actually Paschatya. This was also the occupational duty of Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Anupam Goswami. So Srila Prabhupada defines his mission as to broadcast the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to fight with impersonalists and voidists. And he made it clear in many places that it is our mission as his disciples also to defeat the attacks of the Mayavadis. For instance, in one lecture which Srila Prabhupada gave in 1972, Srila Prabhupada said, "The unfortunate Mayavadi cannot chant. They criticize. This chanting is sentimentalism. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was criticized at Benares when he was chanting. You know the story. Prakasha Ananda Saraswati, a great Mayavadi sannyasi, he used to criticize that this sannyasi is sentimental. Sannyasi's business is reading Vedanta. But this sannyasi is chanting and dancing." So there was strong criticism. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was arranged to meet this Mayavadi sannyasi, and he talked on Vedanta, and he defeated him. And the sannyasi, along with his 60,000 disciples, became his followers. So you should not be simply chanting and dancing. Along with, you must know philosophy. There are so many Mayavadis, you have to defeat them. It is not that we are cowards, we are Krishna's soldiers. So as soon as there is Mayavadi attack, you must immediately defeat them. That is wanted. Therefore, so many books are being written. And certainly, anyone who reads Srila Prabhupada's books, as of course his followers should do, know for sure that Srila Prabhupada was very serious about this, defeating Mayavadis. And throughout his books, he again and again criticizes the position of the Mayavadis. Sometimes devotees used to ask me, why don't I write a book against Mayavad? And I say, well, Srila Prabhupada has done it in every one of his books, and especially Bhagavad Gita as it is. Again and again. And Krishna himself is expressing his feelings. Krishna expresses his feelings towards the gopis by kissing them, and he expresses his feelings, well, they don't always kiss, sometimes they have fights also, mock fights. But he also expresses his feelings towards people who try to relegate Krishna to a manifestation of the impersonal. In other words, impersonalists. When he says, avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhaya, they're simply fools who think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, am some emission from some impersonal, unmanifest something, or some nothing, some no thing, undefined, indefinable. But Krishna is very definable. That young man was asking me yesterday, how do we define Krishna? We don't define Krishna. He's self-defined. He gives his definition in Bhagavad Gita. So, very clearly, Srila Prabhupada was so much against Mayavad. Mukunda Goswami was one of the first followers of Srila Prabhupada in New York City in 1966. And I heard this both from him and from Umapati Swami, who was also one of those early 1966 followers. They both said that Srila Prabhupada, at that time known to them as Swamiji, would again and again and again speak about these Mayavadis. And they thought that, well, Swamiji's nice and we appreciate what he's doing, but he's hung up on some sect back in India who he doesn't like and he keeps on talking about them. But they couldn't understand what was the relevance to themselves until one day Srila Prabhupada, as was common, he was criticizing Mayavadis in one class with specific reference, as he often did, to the commentary of Dr. Radha Krishnan on the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 34. in which Dr. Radha Krishnan states that it is not unto the person, Krishna, that we have to surrender, but to the unborn eternal within Krishna. And Kirtananda and company, well, they weren't initiated at this time. They were getting a little fed up of all this Mayavad bashing. So Keats stood up and he gave a speech quoting Shakespeare, Lao Tse Tu or something like that. The Chinese, they probably don't know because communism, they don't promote him. Lao Tse, is it? Doesn't sound very Chinese. Maybe you're right. You know Chinese probably as well as I do. Zero. I'm asking them, but they won't know because that's all squashed out of modern Chinese culture. They won't know. Just like in Tamil Nadu, hardly anyone even knows the name of Ramanuja. Do you know that? It's disgraceful, isn't it? What to speak of the Alvas and Kuresh and Vedanta Deshika? They never heard. Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta friend. Anyway, I'm getting off subject here. Let's get back to New York, 1966. So Keith Ham was quoting all these people, and then there are Western Mayavadis too, like there was one, what's his name? There's place was just around the corner from our temple in Berry Place. Not very prominent. Some Swedenborg, that's his name. And others who went to India, like this Madame Blavatsky and all this. So so Keith was quoting all these people and Swamiji was sitting there getting red in the face. And then Keith stopped and Swamiji asked him, "Have you finished?" He hadn't finished and he went on with more and more how it's all one and I am you and you are me. Everything is God. God is everything. God is in everything. God is everywhere. God is light. Light is God. God is love. Have you finished? This time he finished. And then Prabhupada, extremely angry, smashed his fist on the table and said, "It's Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is nothing impersonal. There's no such thing as impersonal Supreme. Krishna says here, Manman, are you... surrender unto me, you think of me. Why do you deny Krishna?" And they were all stunned. They thought that Keith was a big philosopher, but he just smashed it. Then they realized, oh, we are the Mayavadis he's talking. Now, I give some comment on this in my book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service, that at that time, Srila Prabhupada had been in America several months, and these were his only followers. They weren't much of followers, but there were some kind of followers. At least they used to come and listen to him regularly, and sometimes they might even do a little service like cleaning up some of the plates or something like that. And the main service they did was eating a lot of prasadam. But they had some kind of attachment to him, and that's all he had at that time. But he could not tolerate. He was again and again talking against his Maya. But they didn't catch it. They thought, well, he's talking about someone else. So at that point, he could have lost them all, and he would have been back to zero. He would have had no followers at all. It was quite possible they would have said, "Well, okay, you have your Krishna and we'll have our oneness." But fortunately, they stayed with Srila Prabhupada. Although it's a long history, it appears that Keith, he never really got the Mayavad out of him. Which is one reason that we among ourselves also, we have to regularly discuss about this Mayavad, because it's not just the Western world. I mean, India is the home country, it's of Mayavad, literally. It's not just in India. I mean, in the Western world, you'll find also, and in the Islamic world, you'll find different philosophers that have come up with various impersonalistic theories. The mystics in the Christian tradition who have never been much encouraged by the church orthodoxy, but they've been impersonalists. But a systematic philosophy which attempts to establish impersonalism, that is in India, with Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad, and of course there are various strands of that. So everyone in the world is influenced by this, and we shouldn't think that, well, just because someone puts some tilak on and starts chanting Hare Krishna, that they're free from this influence. It's a very deep impression in the heart. We all know the word sanskar means impression. So we have very deeply embedded contaminations within the heart. So one of them is this idea that ultimately absolute is impersonal. So we need to discuss that regularly. And it's also very strongly in Indian culture, among Hindus especially, to respect sadhus, which can be good, and if the sadhu is good, and can be not good if the sadhu is not good. And with Mayavadis, it's a bit of a mixture. It can be in many cases. I mean, there are out-and-out cheaters in all respects. Just like recently, there's one fairly young man from Tiruvannamalai in Tamil Nadu who set up camp in Bangalore and called himself Paramahamsa Nityananda. And after some time, it became obvious he's not really a Paramahamsa, as he likes to dance with young girls. And it might have been that he had some idea of being a sadhu, but he fell victim of his own immature desires. But there are many sadhus who, as sadhus, we can respect them, even though they're Mayavadis. And I was just in Tamil Nadu for some time, so excuse me for giving examples from there. But in recent years, one of the best or outstanding sadhus in India was also in Kanchipuram in Tamil Nadu. This Chandrasekharendran Saraswati was the Kanchi Shankaracharya. And he was, in terms of being a sadhu, he was first class. He would never take a vehicle to go anywhere. He would dress very simply. He was very deeply learned in the Vedas. He was completely committed to his role as a Shankara. He was very saintly, real sadhu and everything. So there may be that the Mayavadis, in some ways, they do some good things. They promote study of the Vedas, respect for Hindu culture, whatever that may be. Like that. So they're good, morally good, but there's a very, very big problem that they promote this Mayavad. So it's like on one side they're good, and on the other side they're very bad. And Therefore, they're so bad that we have to speak against their theories. Personally, we may respect their behavior, but their theory is so wrong that we can't just tolerate it, because it does so much harm in human society. When Srila Prabhupada was preaching in America, at the same time, there were two Indian gurus who were very prominent, much more prominent than Srila Prabhupada was. Of course, there were various Indian gurus who were preaching in America at the time, but two were very prominent. One was a young boy who he was widely known as Guru Maharaji. His actual name was Bal Yogeshwar, but that was a bit difficult for the Westerners. They called him Guru Maharaji. He was a young boy, 14, 15 years old. And he claimed to be Krishna, and he had many followers, and he was an out-and-out cheat. It was quite clear. And Srila Prabhupada was very strongly against him. When he was in Hong Kong, some press reporters asked, they asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you think of him? Prabhupada said, I kick on his face, I urinate in his face. What will he do? He didn't like him. He didn't like him. And then there was another who was very prominent, called Yogi Mahesh. He was preaching this so-called transcendental meditation. And Srila Prabhupada, he was openly against it. He's saying, this is simply cheating. I recently saw a video clip of him, of this Yogi Mahesh, being interviewed on TV. He's such a cheater. It's amazing that you have all these people there, suits and ties, and they're interviewing him and taking him seriously. And he's just talking such a bunch of rubbish. What is this meditation? What is the mantra? He said, well, there's different sounds. Everyone has their own vibration, and the mantra, everyone has a different mantra. It goes with their vibration. And he just, what is this? There's no such thing in Shastra. It's just some mumbo-jumbo. And the fact is that he's making a lot of money. He's charging everyone for this course. So in some ways you could say that these people did something good. Vivekananda, Srila Prabhupada, definitely didn't like him at all. In America, hardly anyone knows his name, but much better known actually is Yogananda. So Prabhupada said, this Ananda, that Ananda, all these Anandas. So you could say in some way they did some good, in as much as at least they gave some familiarity to, in the Western world, familiarity with sadhus from India and some degree of acceptance of what they have to say. So it's, you know, maybe 0.1% of something good, and the other 99.9% decidedly not good at all. Based on Srila Prabhupada's attitude towards this Mahesh Yogi, I'm pretty sure Prabhupada wouldn't have much good to say, and pretty much the opposite about his modern successor in the corrupt parampara, the parampara of cheating people. Another guy from Bangalore, some Sri, he calls himself Sri Sri. And go, it's same thing, you know, long hair, smiling, flowing robes, and just talking a bunch of stuff which has nothing tangible, and taking lots of money from people. You're all invited to turn off your cell phones. Another, I tell you something else, if you really want a better life, don't have a cell phone. It's much better. I never had a cell phone. Many people offered to give them to me. Life's better without cell phones. It is possible to live without one. It's not a joke, it's a fact. So these people, they misrepresent the Vedic teachings so badly by twisting things around, giving their own speculations, that we find that in the West there's this whole New Age movement in which the Western people, they've taken it up, this speaking something which sounds spiritual without any real substance. You see that Srila Prabhupada, he always spoke systematically, clearly, delineating what is the body, what is not the body, or what is the Atma and Anatma, what is the living being, what is the body. The fact that we are all controlled, we cannot deny that we are all controlled, we are forced to suffer birth, death, old age and disease, means there is a controller. So Srila Prabhupada spoke in a very clear way, but the Mayavadis, just the opposite, they speak in a very unclear way, and they think that's spiritual. So they're very expert at taking spiritual concepts and dragging them down to the material platform and making it sound spiritual. Recently, also, I saw another video clip. One American woman who was talking about love. Love. So she said that she was speaking the language which she might have heard from Srila Prabhupada, but it was twisted. She said, we have to have unconditional love for God. Sounds good, doesn't it? But to be able to have that, first of all, you have to have unconditional love for at least one human being. In other words, just mundane, pungsastriya mituni bhava metam. It's just mundane, but this idea, you have to have unconditional love. But they're missing the whole point that you cannot have unconditional love for anyone but Krishna. Krishna is the center of that love. You just can't talk about unconditional, selfless service. Yeah, okay, good. It's a very good concept. If you hear, oh, this is, oh, what a wonderful concept. But that's for Krishna. There's no selfless, it's not possible to have selfless service in the true sense, unless first of all you understand who is the Supreme Self and who are you yourself. Otherwise, it might have a semblance of being selfless, but it ultimately turns out to be selfish. Because Krishna is the actual object of love. If we think, another point is that if we have this selfless service and unconditional love, if it's not for Krishna, then that unconditional love, so-called, or selfless service, so-called, that may benefit one person, but it will harm others. For instance, you might profess selfless service to your country. That means you're working against other countries. Or you might have a selfless service to the poor people of Calcutta and you feed them with the goats of Calcutta. They get fed some nourishing food. So the goats, they're not very happy by getting their throats cut so that you can selflessly serve some hungry people in Calcutta. So, this Mayavad means to take all the high concepts which are given in Shastra, Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karana Evacha, these very high concepts, which can only be possible in relationship with Krishna, and take Krishna out. And you just, then it's just, it sounds spiritual, but it's not. Or you keep Krishna there, But you redefine Krishna. That's why this man asked me yesterday, how do you define Krishna? It's not our job to define Krishna. We should not, with our limited intelligence and perverse intelligence, try to define Krishna. So the Mayavadis, they either leave Krishna out or they redefine him. And say, I see Krishna in my wife. So she represents the beauty of Krishna. Like that. We see Krishna in all the poor people. Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. And if you say Manava Seva is Madhava Seva, what's all this in Shastra about doing puja? They say, don't do puja. You feed the poor man in the street. So in this way, they mislead people and say, yes, this is real religion, the poor people. You have, what's the use of making big temples and offering gold and expensive things when the people are starving in the street? So close the temple and feed the poor people. But however much you may desire to feed the poor people, the fact is that according to the very nature of this material world, there will always be suffering people in this world. People are suffering not because you are offering puja and neglecting to use the money in feeding the poor people, but people are suffering because of their sinful reactions. And you cannot... We, by taking the position of God and trying to help people in that way, we cannot mitigate the suffering of those who are meant to suffer. We can do so by telling them how to get free from suffering. Suffering is caused by neglect of Krishna. So this is actual welfare work. So we may wonder why Srila Prabhupada is so much against Mayavad. Why so strongly? Why again and again? Well, the fact is it's a very, very deep contamination. So, Srila Prabhupada, out of his genuine compassion, criticizes all these things. And he criticizes pretty much everything, because there are so many misconceptions in the world. Generally, people have an idea that there is right and wrong, good and bad. But because they are envious of Krishna, they don't know what is actually right. Right means to surrender to Krishna. And what is wrong? To not surrender to Krishna. They don't know what is good, which is to surrender to Krishna. And they don't know what is bad, which is not to surrender to Krishna. Even if you have a very high-sounding philosophy, it's still you come to the same point of not surrendering to Krishna. So this point has to be made very clearly and strongly. So sometimes some members of our movement, they want to edit some things out of Srila Prabhupada's books, which they think might offend people, because Srila Prabhupada writes so strongly and he says things which are unpopular. But if we are to take out all the things that people won't like, there won't be much left. If we only have love, you might have two or three words left, love Krishna, and that's all. But then, who is Krishna? Who are we? And what are all the disturbances on the path? What are the misconceptions? There's another misconception of the Prakriti Sahajiyas, that you just speak about love of Krishna. You don't criticize anything or anyone. But without criticizing what is wrong and pointing out what is wrong, then we may talk about bhakti, love, prem, madhurya, and all these different selfless service and so many things. But because of our misconceptions, our so-called bhakti will never properly focus on Krishna, and we'll never actually get free from the selfishness that is the characteristic of our mundane consciousness. So this Mayavad needs to be criticized. At the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he analyzes the point in the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Srila Vyasadeva states, Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra. Herein, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, cheating religion is completely rejected. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami analyzes that here, Kaitava Dharma means mundane dharma artha kama moksha. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and the desire for liberation. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that dharma de mokha bancha kaitav pradhan jaha hoite krishna bhakti hoi antardhan. He says that of all these kinds of cheating religion, the worst of all is the desire for liberation, because by that the Krishna bhakti becomes completely vanished, spoiled. So it's required to criticize these theories. It's the Mayavadis who say, well, don't criticize, just let everybody feel good. But that's also one kind of theory. And if your theory is wrong and it's misleading others, it should be exposed. So they are wrong. This Mayavad, the idea that we are all ultimately everything is all one and everything is God, it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. You are not God, I am not God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is the Supreme, at least we can understand there is a Supreme Controller. Then who is that? Then we have to find out, and that we can understand from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra is Krishna. So another point that is that even whatever little progress the one may make in spiritual life, it's actually very little. Even though we say that there are some great sadhus, and I gave some example. There's definitely a great sadhu. It was the Chandrasekhar Endran Saraswati, but the Vaishnava analysis is that even a neophyte devotee who's materially attached is better spiritually situated than a highly advanced Mayavadi, because he's on the right point. He's a long way from perfection, but he's on the right point. Whereas a Mayavadi is highly advanced but in the wrong thing. So it's better to make a little advancement in the right thing than much advancement in the wrong thing. They have to go through so much difficulty, so much trouble, and at the end, nothing to show. No Krishna consciousness. They didn't advance toward their own actual position. So, Shreyashriting Bhaktim Udasyate Vibho Klishyanti ye kevala bodha labdhiye. The Mayavadis, they think that they're on the path of auspiciousness, but they neglect Krishna. They go through so much trouble to try to be spiritual and at the same time reject Krishna, which is, it's absurd actually. So there are many points can be made. There's one of my godbrothers, Patit Pavan Prabhu, from Srila Prabhupada's examples, he compiled a book of arguments against this Mayavad. So we can just go through a few. I mean, the Mayavadis, although they say ultimately everything is one, they have many, many arguments. Why should you need to argue if ultimately everything is one? Anyway, it's just so illogical and so unappealing to the soul. It appeals to the perverse mentality of the conditioned soul, who has an inner ambition to become God. It's appealing, but it appeals to a very perverse mentality. So, according to these theories, ultimately everything is pure, undifferentiated oneness. It's not a very practical theory. If we say everything is all one, and someone who says that, they may think, everything is all one. So yes, we're one, everything is all one, 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 aham brahmasmi, brahmasmi, aham. It's time for lunch. Okay, it's time for lunch. All right, so, all right, time for lunch. Okay, so you just wait here. And the other person comes back. He comes back after half an hour and says, okay, we continue our conversation. What about lunch? Well, I already took lunch. What about me? Well, you and I are the same. You don't need to take lunch. I took yours too, because we're all one. I mean, there's so many things. Why eat at all? Or why not just eat stew? It's all one. It's all... Why breathe? What's the difference between being alive and not alive? There are so many points. They say then you become liberated, then you become one, but you become God, then if one jiva is liberated and they're all this, everything is all one, then all should be liberated. And why? How do you get an illusion in the first place? There are so many wrong ideas. It doesn't make any sense, but as we find out with Mayavadis, when you start to argue with them, they just say, words, words. As long as they're talking all nonsense, they never tell you to stop. As long as you're going, word, oneness, God, it's all light. As long as you're going talking like that, they're all very happy. But as soon as you point out, actually you're talking nonsense, they say, words, words, you can't understand by words. Then why are you talking so many words in the first place? It's only when you point out that what they say is wrong, then they say, oh, it's all words, it's all beyond that. So you can understand, they're bogus, completely bogus. We should understand. We shouldn't be taken in by their show of saintliness, by the talking, our love. Peace, and that'll be $2,000, please, for that. For listening to me saying that. So, they do it, don't they? There's Sri Sri, only the rich people go, I think it's 5,000 rupees a seminar now. Just plain cheating, and people love it. They love it. Oh, wonderful. It's because it's prestigious to be his follower, because you follower, there's nothing to follow. You have to pay a lot of money, so it's, we're not followers of some cheap guru, but we have to spend a lot of money to get cheated, so it's prestigious. Another thing they love to say is that, I'm not your guru, I'm not a guru, I'm not teaching anything. They love to say this. They'll go on all day talking, and then when you point out that they're saying all nonsense, well, I'm not a guru, and then no responsibility. I'm not a guru. They take your money, but there's nothing in return, no responsibility, nothing. So, we may say, well, there is something to it, that the Mayavadi, I mean, there is some oneness, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught achinta bheda bheda, so there is abheda. But yes, but you have to understand that in perspective. We are one, the jiva is one with Bhagavan in one respect. He's not, the jiva is not a totally different entity. If it was totally different in all respects, then there couldn't be any relationship between. So there is oneness in some respect, But still the jiva is very tiny and Bhagavan is very great. And if we overemphasize the oneness, then we lose the difference. Actually, the difference is always there, but we conceptually lose the difference. And we imagine ourselves to be one in all respects. So, this is not the ultimate truth. This is not the teachings of Shastra. The ultimate teaching of Shastra, that's all summarized in Bhagavad Gita, in which Sri Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita is very clear, although it's misinterpreted by the Mayavadis. Vedaischa sarvera aham eva vedyaha. In all the Vedas, I am to be known, Krishna says. Mataparataram nanyat kinchid asti. There's nothing above me, Krishna says. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha prabhureva cha. He is the enjoyer and the master of all yajnas. So Krishna is definitely supreme, but the Mayavadis have a contrivance of interpreting in a manner that is against not only the laws of Sanskrit grammar. They not only they redefine the language, but it doesn't make any sense at all. Because when Krishna says I, me, they interpret that to mean everyone. But that doesn't, it just doesn't make any sense. If you say, please give me a glass of water, and that person goes to the tap and gets a glass and drinks it himself, that doesn't make any sense. It's no language in the world works like that. When someone says I, that means it means the speaker, a specific person. You can't reinterpret that to mean someone else. It's very clear. But they can only establish their philosophy by what Srila Prabhupada called word jugglery, mental speculation. It doesn't make any sense. I'll just read a few quotations of the many, many, many that Srila Prabhupada wrote about Mayavad. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns that Mayavadi bhasha shunile hoy sarvanash. Anyone who listens to the commentary of the Mayavadi philosopher, then his fate is doomed. He is finished, as from a lecture. He will never be able to understand bhakti, philosophy. It is so poisonous. This is the term used, like poison. Poison kills. So Mayavad kills bhakti. Reading the Mayavadi commentaries on Vedanta Sutra is always dangerous. Oh, way over. Okay. The chief danger is that through these commentaries one may come to consider the living entity to be equal to the Supreme Lord. That's what they want to convince you of. It's not true at all. It is easy for a conditioned living entity to be falsely directed in this way. And once he is so directed, he can never come to his actual position or enjoy his eternal activity in bhakti yoga. In other words, Mayavadi philosophy has rendered the greatest disservice to humanity by promoting the impersonal view of the Supreme Lord. The greatest disservice to humanity. So generally we think that in the 20th century, the great villains were Hitler, Stalin, who else? Pol Pot, Mao Zedong. How's the pronunciation? You heard of that name. But according to this, the biggest villains were the Mayavadis. The greatest disservice. Greatest disservice. Hitler killed a few bodies, not a few, quite a few. Churchill killed as many, but you don't hear about that because Churchill won the war, Hitler didn't. But he killed somebody and then they get born again. But if you kill, if you give Mayavad, you kill the spirit of service to the Supreme Lord, and then one is doomed by that offense, that in many, many lifetimes one will never get the opportunity to be Krishna conscious. So they have the greatest disservice. Although they may they often present themselves as welfare workers. Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. But actually their so-called Manava Seva is giving out poison in the form of sweet cookies. Poison. So Srila Prabhupada says, Mayavadi means Maya Parita Jnana. Their knowledge has been taken away by Maya. Fools. Either you call them fool, or call them lowest of the mankind, or the most sinful. Whatever way you can call, they are like that. All good qualifications. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned, Mayavadi Pasha Shunale Hoi Sarvanash. If you hear from Mayavadis, then your spiritual life is finished. It is so dangerous. From the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya immediately informed Prakash Ananda that in the modern age, people in general are more or less bereft of all spiritual intellect. When such people come under the influence of Shankara Acharya's Mayavadi, impersonalist philosophy, before beginning the most confidential Vedanta sutras, their natural tendency toward obedience to the Supreme is checked. Important point, eh? The idea that we have to submit to Krishna. If we hear Mayavad, then that idea is spoiled, that we have to submit. The supreme source of everything is naturally respected by everyone, but this natural tendency is hampered when one takes to the impersonalist conceptions of Shankara. Thus, the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya suggested that it is better that one not study the Shariraka Bhasha of Shankaracharya, for it is very harmful to people in general. Indeed, the common man does not even have the intelligence to penetrate into the jugglery of words. You see, most people, they can't understand whether it's Shankaracharya and his followers with their complex Sanskrit word jugglery, or modern tinsel Mayavadis who just speak, love, compassion, peace. And people, they don't have the intelligence. Many people don't have the intelligence to understand. This is all, he's not saying anything. He's just sounding something nice. But what does it mean? Love means, it's not just some general idea. Love, but love means specifically focused on Krishna. And then it can go to everyone else. So this idea, you just love everyone. It has no meaning in this world. You can imagine yourself to do so, but you can't act on that platform. You can't love everyone. You don't have the, you say love everyone, it's actually a very rascal thing to say, because you don't have the capacity to do so. Only Krishna has. We cannot love everyone. We can't have a relationship with everyone. That's Krishna's prerogative. Only He can do that. So, it is better advised to chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this quarrelsome age of Kali, there is no alternative for self-realization. But there's another problem, is that sometimes we think, well, anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna, they're a devotee. But Mayavadis, they'll also chant. So you have to see what their philosophy is. Just don't follow anyone and everyone who's chanting Hare Krishna. In the Western world, kirtan has become quite popular among rascals and foolish people it's not actually kirtan, it's some Mayavadis. And there's one famous so-called kirtaneer who says that, well, when I chant Hare Krishna, I don't think of that some cowherd boy or something like that, but Krishna's just the reality in all of us. In other words, he's a rascal. He thinks that he's Krishna. He's a Mayavadi. But even one thing, and at least I'm saying Chandrasekharendra and these Mayavadis, at least they followed some principles of morality. But these so-called Kirtaniyas in the West, they're like rock stars, and they attract women. That's what they're doing with their so-called kirtan. They're rascals in every respect. So their chanting is not at all helpful. That chanting, it actually confuses people as to the nature of actual kirtan, because they're Mayavadis. It actually increases materialism, this Mayavad. I remember the first time I read, and maybe the first several times I read, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila chapter 7, Srila Prabhupada states that factually both the Mayavadis of Varanasi and the voidists of Saranath, means the Buddhists, they're utter materialists. And I how is that? They have some spiritual, we may not agree with it, but they have some spiritual philosophy and they're following some spiritual principles. I really got to understand that when I was sometime in Thailand, which is a traditionally Buddhist country. It's also known throughout the world as being a place of great material enjoyment. Not that people in general are very rich, but they have a very strong spirit of material enjoyment. You don't need to be rich to have material enjoyment. That's a big bluff, actually. I mean, you can have sex and alcohol and all these things. You don't have to have much money. You don't need much money to do it. So, the people are very materialistic, and at the same time, they consider themselves to be Buddhists. So, I thought about it and thought that, well, the aim of Buddhism is what? Just to self-destruct, to non-exist. And to achieve that aim, you have to be a really strict monk and you have to follow all these things, and it's really, neither the path is attractive nor is the goal. So most people, they just go, they put off the project of liberation or whatever they call it. They put it off to some lifetimes in future. And in the meantime, well, the world's here, folks. Let's get on with it and enjoy it. And even though they know there's reincarnation, it's not just by understanding there's reincarnation that you become spiritual, as we find in the Bhagavad Gita, that people, Krishna criticized the people who think, oh, it's reincarnation. Okay, so what you do in this life affects your next life. Okay, let's do some pious activities and we'll go to the heavenly planets. Then we'll come down again and we'll do more pious activities and we'll go back. So it's not necessarily that people become spiritually minded by knowing about reincarnation. In Thailand, I asked one woman that, well, you're eating pigs, that's the most popular form of flesh food in Thailand. So don't you know that you'll become a pig in your next life? She said, yeah. So, aren't you worried about it? She said, no. It'll be fun also. You're having fun in this life, we'll have fun in that life too. Sanuk, fun, pleasure. So their actual spiritual intelligence is completely covered. That they can think, yeah, it's all right to become a pig. Completely covered. This is the result of this nirvishesha, shunyavada. Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1957, the Mayavadi philosophy, having killed the spiritual variegatedness of the Supreme Being, the people are generally attracted in the variegatedness of material existence. That's what happens. Krishna is all attractive, spiritual variegatedness, but they say there's no variegated, the ultimate has no variety, nirvishesh. So they become attracted to the mundane variety. Because that is the nature of the soul, to desire pleasure in variety. So if you deny the spiritual variety, then you're just left up with the material variety to try and enjoy. In the Vedanta Sutras, we have direct information of how a spiritual entity is joyful, full of spiritual bliss. This idea of enjoyment is focused through a material vision, and as such, the spiritual focus is reflected in a perverted manner. The attention of the people in general is attracted by the cinemas in place of temples, because the Mayavadi philosophy, impersonality of Godhead, has created a void in the spiritual realm. Why is there so much materialism in the world? Why is it increasing? Srila Prabhupada puts it down to Mayavad. This is the cause. But in fact, Srila Prabhupada continues, the spiritual realm is not at all void. It is full of variegatedness of spiritual mellows. If you create a void in the spirit unnecessarily, you have to create necessarily a fill-up in the material existence, and that is the cause why temples are being replaced by vulgar cinemas. People are not getting spiritual pleasure in serving Krishna. Even if they come to the temple, they think, well, it's just some statue, and ultimately there is no spiritual being, they have no knowledge of any spiritual person. And so they look for the mundane rasa. The natural attraction of the living being is toward Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana, Sita Ram. But they don't get that, so they get some Shah Rukh Khan movie. And I don't know who the female is. I don't need to know. You don't need to know either. But that's what they're attracted to, not getting the real attraction of the transcendental Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. So, another quote from Srila Prabhupada in a conversation. Shunyavadis, they say, there is no God and there is nothing, in fact. Everything is a combination of some illusory things. This is Shunyavadi. And the Mayavadi, they say, yes, there is God, you see, how they're cheating. They say there's God, but he has no form. So it makes you sound, oh, they believe in God. Yeah, but there's God, but he doesn't have any form. Doesn't have any home, doesn't have any friends, there's nothing left. It's like saying, I have a cow, but it has no horns, no dewlap, it doesn't give milk, what's left? There's no character, there's no characteristics of the cow, and then it's a non-cow. How can there be a cow, possibly without horns? That's possible. Without dewlap, well, it might be a Western cow. Not giving milk, that's also possible. They may be dried up. If it doesn't moo, might have tonsillitis. You know. But generally, these are the characteristics of a cow. So if you remove all the characteristics, and then there's no cow. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, we have to kill both of them. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarne. The whole Western world is filled up with these Shunyavadi and impersonalists. India is also nowadays, but still there are devotees in the Acharya Sampradaya. They are fighting against Shunyavad and Nirvishesh. And there are so many. I leave it. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We should understand this very clearly. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarne. So this is also Paschatya Desha. Pune is also on the western side of India. Yeah. In Chaitanya Charitamrita is written, Paschima Lok Shab Mura Anacha. The people in the West are all mudhas, fools, and anacha. They don't know how to behave properly. So this was written about people on the western side of India. Actually. And later it was extended to further and further west. So everywhere, now everywhere is the West. Everywhere you see the people, anyway, jeans. And I mean, what, you ask some of the older people, what, could you imagine your mother in jeans and a t-shirt? Was it imaginable? So the West is everywhere. America has come here. It was not imaginable. And then it became that young girls could do, but now mothers with children are dressed in tight t-shirts. And that's just one example. There are so many examples. The West is here. So, with Mayavad, Shunyavad, we have to fight against this. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? It's a little late. I didn't realize I'd gone so much time. Is there? Yeah, give this mic.
Maharaj just stated in the lecture that Mayavad Bhasha should be by Saranash. But is it not important, Maharaj, that we should know the philosophy and know where it falls short and accordingly take the stand of not following it? Then to not hear it at all in the first place. I mean, if someone would not have heard our philosophy in the first place under some ideas.
This is a stupid idea. The idea that you should eat some poisonous food and then you'll understand that it's poisonous. Is that a good idea? Rather, you take warning, don't eat that food at all. So you can all that you need to understand about Mayavada and Shunyavada, you can learn from Prabhupada's books. You don't have to subject yourself to this. First I'll become poisoned and then I'll understand it's poisonous. This is a very foolish idea. You're not convinced. Okay, you go drink some poison. You take the poison. What do you want? You have a better idea than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who tells us, don't hear Mayavad. You do. All right, it's up to you. We sometimes come across people who are followers of Ram Krishna Mata, Satya Sai Baba, Asharam Baba. Sometimes. How should we preach to them about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? Should we make them appreciate our Vaishnava culture? Straight away expose the fallacy of that bogus organization. If I do the latter approach, they may not appreciate Krishna consciousness. Anyway, they don't appreciate. They're not appreciating. They're superficial people, so you can make them superficially appreciate. The whole idea of Mayavadis is, yes, everything's nice, everything's love, everything's good. So if you say, yes, yes, Krishna consciousness is so nice, yeah, Krishna consciousness is so nice, is one of the zillion things in the world. Best thing is to give them Srila Prabhupada's books, if they'll take it. You can also, the thing is, we don't expect to convert everyone on the spot to Krishna consciousness. But you can point out some things, just like Satya Sai Baba. His so-called followers say that he's God. So you can tell them what are the qualities that make God. One of them is all beautiful. He's disqualified, obviously. Obviously, isn't it? Obviously, he's disqualified. So like this. And Ram Krishna Mat. I know it's meant to be mat or mot. So his mat is jato mat tatopat. So you can say, so my mat, my idea is to punch you in the face. So is that good? They're all... Or if you don't want to be so impolite because you think that being impolite is not good. Actually, to be impolite to Mayavadis is good. Yes, yes. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it is good. But you say all the paths are the same. So my opinion is that yours is wrong. So this is logically impossible. that you can't say that all paths are right if my opinion is that your path is wrong. So you have to accept my path as being as good as yours. But if you accept my path is to say that you are wrong. So it's illogically impossible. The thing is that these people are not at all logical. They're not serious. They're not sincere. That is the problem. That is the very deep problem. So yeah, you can expose the fallacy if they want to talk. But experience is there that they won't accept the scissors philosophy. They won't accept that. They'll go on talking and talking and talking. But they don't want to admit that they're wrong. They are. It's not difficult to logically to show these people are wrong, but they don't want to accept logic. Mostly they don't even know what, if you ask them what the philosophy is, they'll look blank. They never heard the word philosophy in their life. These people don't talk philosophy anyway. It's all just some feeling. And that's why in Krishna consciousness also, we must teach philosophy as Srila Prabhupada did at every moment. Prabhupada didn't just make some feeling. If you want that, you can go to this Kripalu or something like that. Just all feeling. But that's not a strong platform. Yeah, please. Yeah, you can, of course.
Cultural events, thinking that they can make the family members happy, bring them for some drama or some children programs activities. Similarly, there are people who come for religious activities, who want to do some puja, who just want to be pious, as you rightly said. And they are not looking for anything beyond that. And there are people who come with some spiritual intentions also, jignasa, looking for something. So, what I would generally do with people, if somebody is coming with spiritual intention, we spend more time explaining philosophy and counteracting all the wrong understandings as much nicely as possible. Eventually trying to bring them closer to Krishna. And the other people, we generally put them to cultural programs, put them to religious programs, and we hope and pray that they become more favorable and friendly and become a little purified by taking in some spiritual related cultural programs like Rama and Brahma, things like that. And then when they develop a spiritual for a period of time, when they are ready now to hear something about spirituality. In the course of doing these things, they get some Prabhupada books, they get some cassettes to hear and everything. But I feel sometimes very pathetic to see a pious person, a religious person coming to temple who has no spiritual argument or awakening. Neither does he know the movement earlier that he knows, some other organization.
Mm-hmm.
And nor does he know what we are, not what they are. He blindly realizes, as I said, people follow Sai Baba, people follow yourself, Ramakrishna. They say they are followers, but they are not actual followers either. When they come here also, there also they have been going in a very pious way. They come here also in a very pious way. Pious in the sense, they have some religious inclination to offer some power to the Lord, bow down to God, bring their family. Even when they bring children to sannyasis, they want some blessings of the children, so that they get some good material education and go abroad. This kind of understanding people have. I feel oftentimes pity for them, and spiritual things don't sink in, even if you give us. On the contrary, we find that their expectations are totally destroyed about what they expect from a saintly person. Oftentimes, because they don't look for anything spiritual, because they don't have that, adhikar.
They are hopeless cases.
A good amount of
well, judging by the example of Srila Prabhupada, it seems that he didn't see people as hopeless cases. He would give an all-around package. He would have dramas, and festivals, temples where people could come and appreciate the beauty and opulence of Krishna. But he would also speak very strongly. So, and he was an all-around package. It wasn't that he was only cutting philosophy. But generally when he spoke with people, he would speak philosophy. And that's why we have so many conversations recorded of Prabhupada. And in most of the cases, you can see that people, they're not really responding, but still Prabhupada would keep on at them. He kept on trying. That was his compassion. And he taught us also, in doing so, how to deal with these people. And in his lectures, he gave straightforward philosophy. There's a very good comment, which I included in that Strongly Speaking book, that it's actually included in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Giriraj Maharaj says that the pious people of Bombay were coming to hear Srila Prabhupada, and he could have very easily made them his followers if he'd have just carried them along in the mood that they were in, which is some pious, religious appreciation of Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada was heavy, heavy, heavy. And Giriraj Maharaj gave the comment that Srila Prabhupada, he didn't want cheap followers who have simply some pious inclination toward Krishna. He wanted them to actually understand and properly surrender to Krishna. That was so. Certainly, we about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also. It was often said when he was present that if he'd just modify his stance a little bit and not be so strong, then he would have many followers, and all the Vaishnavas of Bengal would follow him. But he didn't. He insisted on. He also had cultural programs and even some mundane fairs he would have with a spiritual portion. So he did a mass approach, but when it came to speaking, he was very strong, and he didn't make his standards for followers anything less. Srila Prabhupada, there are many instances. Prabhupada would say, well, if people want, they can come as long as they like. They can join the kirtan, they can join in the arati and take prasadam. But he said, if they're going to be disciples, then they have to strictly follow. So we don't mind, they can come and go as much as they like, but if they're going to be disciples, they have to strictly follow. So in the question of quality and quantity, both are considerations. The idea is that we bring people in and we bring them up. But the overall approach, what I see of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, is to try and bring them up despite their unwillingness. Because, you know, you may say, well, gradually they'll take up Krishna consciousness, but if they don't in this lifetime, if they only remain on the platform of piety, then when are they going to get an opportunity again? So, anyway, I've discussed all these points in detail in that book, On Speaking Strongly in Srila Prabhupada's Service. There are many. We've heard a lot about the dangers of speaking strongly, but we haven't heard a lot about the dangers of not speaking strongly. Is that things tend to become compromised. We don't say what Prabhupada said, and then no one hears it, and they don't know it. And even if they read Prabhupada's books, they think it's something that, well, only he said it, but we shouldn't say it, and we never hear it. Srila Prabhupada organized these classes so that we should hear again and again and again all these different points. If we don't, then we won't absorb it. And then our movement becomes transformed. There are already so many Krishna temples all over India. And the real difference, or what should be the difference between Srila Prabhupada's temple than any other temple, is that we speak as Srila Prabhupada spoke. Otherwise, there are katas are going on everywhere. So what's our great contribution? If we just speak in the same way as... It's nice we can talk Krishna Leela and all this, but without speaking the philosophy, clearly delineating reality from illusion for the welfare of all, then even people hear Krishna Katha and they go away and there's no transformation in their life. And we see that there's so many people, they hear a Katha and then they go home and watch TV and they drink tea and coffee and they want their children to be engineers and doctors. And nowadays I heard more people, they're saying they want their children to be politicians, better. Big money quick. So they don't get the point and they don't really advance in Krishna consciousness at all. And then the speakers, they're always thinking, well, can't say anything that people won't like to hear. And then they need to hear the message themselves, but they also become mundane. And they're all, because they don't speak the clear message, they're only speaking to that people will like, and they judge everything by how people like it. And then the people give them donations, and the speakers like that also. And then they make more facilities that the people will like, and then you see at some of these, they have a free chai seva for everyone. Yeah, it's a fact. Have you not seen? They have all these things. And then, you know, the mundane welfare work, and it's all mixed up, and it all comes, there's no clear speaking. And there's no clear delineation between a Mayavadi and a Vaishnava and a Ramakrishna Mission mundane welfare worker. And then Srila Prabhupada becomes a statue. Instead of offering arati to Ramakrishna in his mat, we offer to Prabhupada. But there's no... And that's more oriented toward Kali, and this is all oriented toward Krishna. But there's no clear distinction. This is what happens.
The director of the college was telling me that we have announced it for the whole college, and college is also supporting some 30% of the charges, and students will have to pay only 70% of the charges.
Still a lot. He's not cheap.
Yes. And the total amount comes to like 2,500 rupees, you know, 2,500 rupees for just 3 or 4 days program.
He's making crores.
So, Maharaj, I had a question. And when I met the director, he was saying, Swamiji, do you also have a program for all our students? We are here to promote it. He was very open, you know. So now...
You're in a fix, sir, because they're already appreciating that rascal.
Not only that. That was one of the points. But most of the college directors, principals, their goal is to see that the students become, you know, clean in character. Students give up bad habits.
Yeah, they don't want their students to become Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
Because what we, Krishna conscious goes, it's not in line with modern society.
Yeah.
So it is a great quandary in preaching, because we have to go in among these people and turn them around, and whatever people think is good and proper and right and desirable, we have to tell them that's all actually against your real self-interest, and your real self-interest is to act in a manner and your whole consciousness will be completely different to whatever common people think is good. So it is a great challenge, there's no doubt. So on one hand, we don't want to turn everyone against us, but it's difficult not to do so when they actually understand what our message is. So it's in like a needle and out like a plow. Srila Prabhupada gave that analogy. It's never going to be easy.
So then the question comes that Krishna consciousness is only reserved for minority few, you know, those who are very
Krishna consciousness is only reserved for a few who are willing to make the big jump, the big leap. Srila Prabhupada had a mass program. It was called Varnashram. It takes some bold devotees to establish projects in which we show that you don't have to live in these cities. You don't have to earn money. You can live simply and depend on Krishna. And that's the mass program, that we can show that. And then we can preach that you don't need a PhD or an MSc. You don't need this at all. You need roti kapra makan, the famous words of the politicians. But now it's not roti kapra makan. It's iPod, TV, at least a two-wheeler, if not a four-wheeler. There's no end to the so-called necessities. So that's the mass program. And it may not, on the farms, it may not be that everyone who comes is immediately a fully committed devotee. That's the mass program. The core devotees should be solid.
Mass programs, I heard Prabhupada wanted business to go to farms and Ramachandra to preach in cities.
The temples are meant for preaching in the cities, yeah. Otherwise, Grihastas. It may be. Prabhupada said that brahmacharis and sannyasis can be on the farms also, and they can go out in the villages with bullock carts preaching. And they can also, in the gurukuls, they can be teaching also. Gurukuls can be at the farms.
Hare Krishna.